deep in your heart. So this past Tuesday, Angie, you weren't there. That's right. I have your book for you, by the way. I have your book. Kathy Brown, Vanessa Brown. Who else was there? George. We're doing, I have a grow group downstairs on Tuesday nights, and they're my guinea pigs for Sunday morning many times. I was like, well, I'll test them out. Test it out on them. Okay. So I was testing it out, and we were talking about the Trinity real briefly, and then we talked about the Father. And a lot of things we go, oh, yeah. But could I tell somebody what the Trinity is and, who the Trinity is? Could I explain that? And we had a good time. We had a little sword fight going. That means we got our Bibles out. So you get the second regurgitation. Hallelujah. But really, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I want you to teach on the Trinity. So I'm going to do a three-week service series. All right. So this is series part one. All right, so praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Here we go. Let's pray, let's pray. Father God, what a joy to come into your presence to worship you. Father, what a joy to come and hang out with people of like precious faith. Father, what a joy to have you open up your word to us that we might know the fullness of you and the plans you have for us. So today we declare that our eyes are open, our ears are open, our hearts prepared, and Father, your word would deposit into us and change us, Father, when we walk out of this place. We will be changed, and everybody in faith says, amen. Amen. And then some of you are going, yeah, that husband of mine, when he walks out of here, he better be changed, because, you know, I got a few things to tell him. Okay, so we're starting a series called The Trinity. The Trinity is simply the Father, God, the Son, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk about how we interact with the Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. How do we interact with them? All right? Because each one of them has something to give to us. So we're going to talk about how we, me, you, interact with the Trinity. Now let me tell you a story. 30 years ago, I've been living in my house. My next-door neighbor, Tina, found out she was pregnant for the first time with identical twins. Tina cried for a month. She did. Okay, well, these twins were born. There are two baby girls, Becky and Katie. All right, and I'm still sounding like a tin can, but if you guys don't mind a tin can. Okay, and So Becky and Katie were born, and it was really interesting. Tina, when they handed her these two little baby girls, cute as buttons, but she couldn't tell them apart. And she told me, she says, thank goodness they give you those take-home bracelets. She'd be looking at the bracelets, you know, all right, because she didn't really know them yet. And then, so I went over to see these cute little buttons, and I thought, I couldn't tell them apart. So Tina, for the mercy of everybody, would dress one in pink and one in purple. Oh, the only thing I couldn't remember which one was pink and which one purple. So I just called, oh, hi, girls. Hi. You know, that means I don't know your name. Oh, if I do this really long thing, I'm just faking it till I make it. Okay. So, but the interesting thing about this is Cassie, my youngest, was born a little bit before Becky and Katie, so they all played together. Cassie, Becky, and Katie, they played together. And Cassie came home one day, and I was like, okay, which one was that? Was that Becky you were playing with or Katie? She goes, Mom, they're just sisters. I go, I know, Cassie, but they're identical. No, Mom, they're sisters. You know, Becky, she looks like this. And Katie, she has more freckles. I was like, great, I'm going to go count freckles. All right? And you see, now, eventually Tina took the bracelets off and she knew her girls. But what astounded me, for as long as they lived there about 10 years and then they moved someplace in York, I couldn't tell who was who. I was like, which one's in pink? I can't do this. All right, but Cassie, she could always tell who was who. And why was that? She'd spent time with them. She'd gotten to know them. She'd had a relationship with them. So why did I tell you that story? It's like the Trinity. It's like the Trinity. A lot of us just know the Trinity and they're all grouped together. And we can't tell who's who. Do you know God the Father responds differently to you than Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit? Well, actually, we have different relationships with each one of them. And that's what we want to talk about. What's my relationship and interaction with the Trinity? All right. So if we don't, you know, if we don't understand that they're different, we'll just say, well, God's God. Well, yeah, God's God. But God is more than just God is God. All right. It's like those twins. They're all mixed together. They're just the cute little girls. All right. So we're going to talk about who the Holy Spirit is, who the Son is, and God the Father. And we're going to look at this. So when I say Trinity, because I've been in this place, let me tell you, I'm talking to you on a level, but I've been in that level. So the reason why I'm going simple is also so you can explain it to people. But when I say Trinity, most people think, oh my gosh, that's complicated. It's a mystery. Woo. All right. And there's this saying that I found. Carol, can you pop that up? Okay. This is and it's an unknown author. I found it someplace. I probably read it someplace and can't remember. So when I can't remember, I just go unknown author. Isn't that good? All right. This is what somebody wrote. Try to explain the Trinity and you'll lose your mind. Try to deny it and you'll lose your soul. So what I just made me laugh, because to me that tells me the Trinity's kind of complicated. The Trinity is kind of complicated when I look at that. And more so, it's like a mystery. It's like a mystery, but it really is not. So first off, God is, and you can fill in the blank. Here you go. The Trinity. God is three persons. God is three persons, all right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all right? Now, that part I could get, although that's new, not too complicated. But then, listen to the next part. Each person is fully God. Each person is fully God. That means they have no beginning. They have existed and always will exist. Existed. Yeah, good word, D. Okay. And the last one that kind of blows my mind after I say that is that there's only one God. Okay. This is like, okay. So we have God is three persons. God is fully God and God is one. All right. If I didn't confuse you, hang in there. All right. So really, as a new believer, I really struggled with this because, I like to put things in a box. I like to have it all organized and put in a box. You should look at my Tupperware container drawer. They're all like this. So when I got to this Trinity, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, I couldn't figure out the box. And really what I found out is you can't put God in a box. You can't put God in a box, even though in this certain denomination, you know, you opened up that thing and that was supposed to be God in the box. Okay, for us, if you didn't know that. So you can't really put God in a box. You simply have to receive it by faith. You receive a lot of this stuff by faith, but we're going to go through some scriptures that are going to make it really big for you today. All right? So turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Okay, all right, God is one. I got that one. God is one. All right, now, look at the word Lord. Y'all see the word Lord in there? It's a really famous Hebrew word. Matter of fact, you all know it. We put it in a song all the time. Do you know what that word means? In Hebrew, it means Jehovah. How many know that song? Jehovah. All right. It's actually the official name of God in the Old Testament. Jehovah. Jehovah. Now, see the other word in the middle of that? It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God." See the word God? All right. That word God in the Hebrew is Elohim. And I'll spell it for you. E-L-O-H-I-Y-M. Now, did you know that word Elohim is actually plural? Plural. So in the English language, when we want to say one dog or two dogs, what do we slap on the back of it? an S, or if the you know, ES, whatever, depending on. But this word right here, okay, I don't know Hebrew, but this word for God, Elohim, means plural. So looking at that scripture, he's already showing us that God is one and there's three persons there. It's a plural. Amazing. So you can go just, you know, show off to somebody what Elohim means, all right? So what I'd like to do is I'd like to go over just a couple of scriptures about the Trinity. Couple of scriptures about the Trinity so you could see that God is Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, the three persons. So the first scripture is turn over to Genesis chapter 1. Everything begins in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. This is about creation, all right? Genesis 1, 26. Then God said, let us, underline the word us, make mankind in our, underline the word our, image, and in our, underline the word our, likeness. So you notice the word us, our, and our, all right? Those are describing, again, three persons, okay? Three persons. So there's not just one God. This is God talking. There's not just one God. We've got three persons, and that's like the first key. Now, that's an Old Testament scripture. That's great. Flip over to Matthew in the New Testament. Let me give you a New Testament scripture. Turn over to Matthew chapter, let's see what I have here, 28. So God is one, and there are three persons. This is what Jesus said in Matthew 28, verse 19. Matthew 28, verse 19. Now, you all know this. Therefore, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the, and the, and the Holy Spirit. So here we go, the Trinity. We are seeing God, three persons, God the Father, God the Son, the God, the Holy Spirit. Now, as I told you, I was raised up in the Catholic faith. I went to Mass till I was 20 years old. Really, for about 21 years. The Catholics really do a good job telling you the Trinity. Mm-hmm. You know, they really do a good job in telling you the Trinity. They actually helped me understand there was a Trinity. I didn't quite understand all the pieces to it, but I knew there was a Trinity. And you know why? We used to do this, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You pray over the food and you go, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. You'd walk into church and dip your finger in that little dirty bowl, and you go, name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You'd end every prayer, name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. You just did that all the time. So had I been thinking, I'd be thinking, I was learning about the Trinity, name of the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Okay, now I'm going to read you one more scripture. This scripture, I'm not doing it so you can have a debate whether we baptize, water baptize you in the name of Jesus, or you baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm just giving you this scripture. No debates. Do not corner me after church, okay? I'm giving you this scripture because Jesus is speaking, and he's actually identifying in the Trinity, okay? Matthew 3. Actually, Jesus is letting you know, hey, guys, the Trinity's real. Matthew 3, verse 16. So the background of Matthew 3, verse 16 is Jesus has left Galilee and he's on a way to the Jordan River because he's going to get water baptized. Okay, he's going to get water baptized by his cousin, John the Baptist. All right, okay, 3:16, Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was water baptized, he came up out of the water. Then the heaven was open to him. He saw the Spirit of God. Underline the Spirit of God. He saw the Spirit of God coming down like a dove and lightning on him. Then a voice from heaven said, this is my dear Son with whom I'm well pleased. So we've got Jesus, the Son, right? The Trinity, the Son. We've got Jesus, the Son, and he's just been water baptized, right? Next, we've got the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit, right? That you could see coming down upon him. And then we got this voice. Who's the voice? God the Father. God the Father, this voice from heaven, God the Father speaks to Jesus. And actually, everybody heard it, just for your benefit, okay? So you got this voice. So again, we see in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All right, that's just foundational. Now let's move on to the next thing. What we have to do with this, I mean, it's great to know in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But how do I interact with the Trinity? How do I interact instead of this, and I don't know what I'm doing except for, you know, all right? So how do we interact? So I want to talk about how do we interact with the Trinity? So number one, you got it down here. I'm going to go over the function of the Trinity, the function of the Trinity concerning salvation, all right? The function of the Trinity concerning salvation. So one, we have God the Father. He planned it, right? Whose plan was salvation? It was Father God's plan before the beginnings of the world. He knew Adam was going to sin, and he had a plan. So the Father God planned salvation. The Son, what does it say about the Son? He performed it, right? Jesus was the one that came down to earth. He died on a cross. He paid for your sins, and he rose for again. So Jesus, the Son, performed salvation for you and I. And the last one is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, oh, I can't wait to week three. He reveals salvation, and he actually seals the deal. All right? Now, speaking for myself, there was a day that I did not believe anything about Jesus. Remarkable. I would go to church, but I really didn't believe. I would go to Mass, but I really didn't believe. Matter of fact, I was not a really nice person. I would make fun of you all if you were these holy rollers and shout at praise the Lord. I would just make fun of you, talk about you behind your back because, you know, we never talk to your face. Okay, I would make fun of people who believed. I mean, believers. Just thought they were interesting, all right? So I was pretty bad. But a day came and God opened my eyes. God opened my eyes and I saw Jesus was the Savior. And that changed my life forever. That changed my life forever. And what he did in my life, he's done in your life. And he still does this today, right? He still does this today. So you might be here and you might be going, well, you know, really, because I've prayed. I'm really praying the Holy Spirit is opening your eyes. He's opening your heart so that you might see. And, you know, maybe yesterday you're going, well, I'm not too sure about this Jesus stuff. You guys are just fanatical. And then the Holy Spirit and God and Jesus, they start moving on you. And you wake up and you go, oh, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior. All right? So the function of the Trinity in salvation is God does what? He plans it. Jesus does what? He performs it. And the Holy Spirit does what? He reveals it and seals it. All right. Now, the next thing I want to look at is the function of the Trinity concerning prayer. The function of the Trinity concerning prayer. Okay, now, I'm going to read this and then I'm going to tell you some stories about me. Number one, the Father hears it. So the Father hears it. He hears prayer. Number two, the Son guarantees it. Number three, the Holy Spirit produces it or answers your prayer. So I have to tell you about prayer and the Trinity. I was just so confused. Who do I pray to? Okay, how about I'll give 15 minutes to God the Father, and then I just go down here. Then 10 minutes to Jesus and 5 minutes to the Holy Spirit. Should I pray that way? I know, I'll pray 15 minutes to each one of them. OMG, that's 45 minutes in prayer? Okay, so I obviously didn't know a lot about prayer, and I certainly didn't understand the function of the Holy Spirit. So what does it mean the Father hears it? What does it mean the Father hears it? Okay, turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. The Father hears it. Verse 23, John 16, 23. Praise God. Is this helping anybody? Yes. Okay, the Trinity, so we're talking right now about the Father God, God the Father, he hears it. He hears prayer. Here we go. At that time, okay, now Jesus, this is Jesus talking, and he's referring to after he died on the cross and he rose again. So at that time is our time right now. This scripture is for us right now. Okay, it's now because Jesus died and he rose again. So he says, at that time, you won't need me. Excuse me. At that time, you won't need to ask me. Who's the me? Jesus. Sorry. That's okay. At that time, you won't need to ask me for anything, for you can go directly to the man. Okay. Isn't that awesome? You get to go directly in your prayer to Father God the Almighty. Okay, now I've told this story before, but when I was growing up, Saturday was allowance day. And my dad wasn't a mean person. He didn't know the Lord. He actually had a disease. He had asthma and emphysema. And as I got smarter, many decades later, he just didn't feel good. So he wasn't a big talker. And, he didn't exactly see a smile on his face. But getting back to the story, Saturday was allowance day. All right. And we would send my sister, Mary. She's 16 months younger than me. And we go, Mary, go ask Daddy for our allowance. Mary didn't care. I found years later, Mary didn't have any. She just perceived my dad as dad. Okay. I perceived as my dad as dad. He's a grump, and this and that. But so Mary became our mediator. Mary, Saturday, Dad's in the dining room reading the newspaper. Go ask him for our allowance. Okay? Now, go back to read that scripture. At that time, you won't need to ask me, Jesus, for anything. You can go directly to the Father. Okay? So he's telling you don't have to go through anyone. Any person or Mary, you can go directly to God the Father. All right? And then, okay, let's I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go finish it. For you can go directly to the Father, ask him, and he will give you whatever you ask because you use my name. So I do it this way. Father, I'm not going to Mary. I'm not going to a priest. I'm not going through you. So I go, Father, I ask you blank, 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 blank in Jesus' name. Ooh, woo! Okay. Now read verse 24. You have tried this before, but begin now. Ask using my name and you will receive and your cup of joy will overflow. Okay. So here's what happens. We pray to the Father. All right. We pray to the Father. And I'm telling you guys, what a privilege. You pray to the Father. All right. You go to him and you say, you pray to him about any problem you have. You got a problem with your kids? You got a problem with your body? You got a problem with your boss? You go to him about anything and you go, and Father, can you help me with this? In Jesus' name. And you know, that Jesus' name, that part where we go, he said to use my name. This is Jesus who's talking there. And he says, use my name. Okay. In Jesus' name. And that's our guarantee. That's our guarantee. Everybody say, that's my guarantee. All right. That's my guarantee. Now, you know what that means? The moment I received Jesus Christ as Lord as my life, the moment I accepted him and my sins were washed away and I became blameless, holy, pretty cute, okay? The moment that happened, that was pretty exciting. Was that exciting to you guys? Oh my gosh. Okay. Now, the but. Everybody say but. But I am human. And I make mistakes. You just receive me. I make a lot of mistakes, okay? Matter of fact, this past week, it was one of those weeks I couldn't figure out if I was hungry, angry, or just pitiful. Sherry came into my office and she came in and asked me something she wanted for the youth. I don't remember. But you know what I did? I bit her head off. You know those? And she was shocked. You know those big eyes with the makeup? And she says, I think I'll talk to you later. She did. Okay. Now, listen, later I apologized to her. I really did. But listen, I am human. I am human. And when I pray, I don't have to say I'm going to God on my perfection. I don't have to say I'm going to God in the name of D. Thank God. I don't have to say that, right? Whose name do I go in? In the name of Jesus, okay? And listen, so I pray, God, I'm coming to you not in my perfection. God, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. And you know what God does? He answers prayer based on that. All right, now, so I simply say, Father God, I'm asking you blank, blank, blank in Jesus' name. And you know, God says he will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. God will answer your prayer. And you know what? It's not based on how good you are, and it's certainly not based on how bad I was. It's based on Jesus, and he was perfect. He didn't mess up, blow up, or snap someone's head off. He answers it in Jesus' name. The Father answers that in Jesus' name based on Jesus. Whoosh. Thank goodness. Based on Jesus. So, the purpose of this series is how we interact with the Trinity. And right now, how we interact with the Father. Okay? So we're going to talk about how we, some more, how we interact with the Father with prayer and then awe. A-W-E. Awe. It's not my Jersey accent. Next week, we're going to talk about how we interact with Jesus, the Son. God, the Son. And the third week, how we interact with the third part of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. So right now, let's go back on to prayer, okay? Just think about this. God the Father, the most incredible being in the whole universe, says you can go talk to him. You can go talk to him. You can ask him and he'll answer. You get to go to God the universe, all right? Now, to me, that's kind of amazing. That's amazing because just think about it. Anybody have something in your life that you would like to have changed? All right. So you all have some things in your life that you would like to, today, that you would like to have changed, all right? So you, according to this John scripture, you get to go to God Almighty, okay, all by yourself. You don't need Mary. You don't need somebody else, okay? You get to go to them, and he said God would intervene for you. He would intervene for me. Matter of fact, you would release him to move on your behalf. You get to go to him, God, in Jesus' name, and you get to release him to move on your behalf. You ought to write that one down. Are you kidding me? I get to release God through prayer on my behalf. All right? Now, I'm kind of a routine person. Some parts of my life, I'm really good at this routine. Others, you know, the gym bag that's fading in the back of my car. I'm working on it. But I have this routine. I've had it for decades. My routine in the morning when I wake up. My routine in the morning is I turn on the coffee maker and I grab my Bible and I sit on the sofa. Okay? And I sit on the right side of the sofa and I've noticed that it's dipping. I've had this thing 20 years. I'm about ready for it, okay? So that's my routine did that. That's my routine. I get up in the morning, I grab my Bible, okay? And I read my Bible, you're going to be shocked, 15 minutes, okay? But I read for about 15 minutes just for me. I'm not studying then. I read my Bible just for me. 15 minutes, okay? And then the second thing of my routine is I pray. Now, there was a time I didn't like prayer. I didn't understand. Okay. But now I like prayer, okay? And prayer is simply you talking to God. It's not, oh, dear most whole heavenly Father God. Okay, that's a bunch of religious baloney. Okay, I just go in there and go, hey, God. I don't even go, hey, God. I go, hey, Dad, Father. Okay, and I just talk to my Father. So the first thing in my routine is I read my Bible, 15 minutes, and then I pray. All right, and let me give you an example. Like that day I snapped Sherry's head out, my prayer would have been, Father, why was I such a jerk? Oh, my gosh. Help me not to be like that. So I pray about things in my life. And then I pray. I'm a good mama, so guess what I pray for next? My kids. I'm praying for my kids. Whatever's going on in their life, I'll go to the Father. Father, you know, I'm asking you. Matter of fact, what's 10? Okay, in 17 more days, I might be. There's a baby coming. It's a Cashman baby on my side. They got babies all over the place here. Okay. But I'm going to have one of mine. I'm going to be grandma. So I've been praying about this. Father God, you know, I just thank you that Cassie's going to have a fast and easy delivery. I thank them for the baby's whole and, you know, I go on. Okay. So I pray for myself. I pray about myself, okay? I pray about my kids. And then I pray about you guys. Yeah, I pray for you. Sometimes I just say, Father God, I thank you for these people at YCF. And other times I'm looking, I'm going, Father God, I thank you for Martha over there. Thank you for the work you're doing. Because I know some things because Tom tells me. Okay, they're good things. Your husband loves you. All right. So that's what happens. Now, think about this. The thought that imperfect D, imperfect, blows it, snaps at people, occasionally cusses. I get to go to Father in Jesus' name. And he hears my prayer and he moves for me. That's mind-blowing, guys. Okay. And it's the same for everyone. God, you go to God the Father. If you're a Christian and you're a believer, you go to God the Father and you talk to him. And you go in Jesus' name, and he moves. He will move for you, because that's who he is, okay? That just amazes me. To this day, it amazes me that God hears my prayer. He hears it, and he moves. He moves for me, okay? All right, now, so we're talking about how we interact with the Father in prayer. Now, let's jump over to how we interact with God the Father in awe, A-W-E. A-W-E. Now, what do I mean by awe? Okay. I mean that how the Father God, it should be reverenced. He should be adored. Okay. That's kind of awe. Everybody say awe. It's not like the doctor says, open your mouth, say awe. This is awe. Awe. Okay. Okay, he needs to be reverenced, adored, and how about worshiped? He should be worshiped, okay? Now, so I know that he's my Father, but listen, guys, he's God. He's God of the universe. The Bible says God Almighty. All right? He should be reverenced, adored, and worshiped. Okay, now, why do I think that's so important? Because a lot of people they're just like, they want to just come up, hey, God, they just smack them, you know, like, you know, no. And a lot of times we haven't been taught to reverence, to adore, to worship God Almighty. We haven't been taught that. And about, I brought this book. This came out in 1999. This is by John Bevere. It's called A Heart Ablaze. It turned me inside out. It slapped me silly. It actually taught me that, yes, God is my Father, and I've got this prayer thing, but he is almighty. And I ought to reverence him, adore him, and worship him. I don't know if we still have these in the bookstore. I got an extra copy. I probably have a couple extra copies. I'll give you one. Write it on a card. Stick it in the back. Okay. This still gets under my skin. You know, I have some pet peeves. I hate garbage in the garbage can. I know. So, especially in the bathroom. Don't leave your garbage. I'm forever emptying. I just like them empty. I know. I'm a little OCD. That's okay. And I actually, for Christmas, Joy brought me this beautiful garbage can with rhinestones on it because I like sparkles. Okay. So I got some OCD things. But I got another one. Say, I love you, Pastor D. Okay. I don't like it when little kids come up to you. So where's my gray hairs? Okay. Little kids come up to you and you go, hey, Lucy. Hey, Eric. I don't like that. You obviously are not from the South. Because in the South, you train. All those mamas and daddies, they train. You say, hey, Miss Stacy. Hey, Mr. Jim. Okay. And you teach them to respect and honor every one of those gray hairs. No, actually, authorities. Okay. And you need to do that because in life, I'm on a rabbit trail. I know where the hole is, okay? In life, your kids will have to deal with authorities. Amen? Yeah. And if you don't learn to deal with authorities, you're going to get fired out of your job. And you might end up someplace you don't want to, okay? So now that's a real extreme. So teach your kids to say, hi, Miss D. I'll go by Miss D. And if you want to slap Pastor on there, that's really good. But don't you tell, hey, D. Oh, man. I go, hi, this is Miss D. Okay. I can tell everybody I can do anything with a smile. So listen, there's a lot of people walking around and they don't reverence God. They don't adore him and they don't worship him. And he is worthy of all praise and worship. So turn over to Hebrews 12. We'll get on a happy note here. I know, that's good. Did you teach your kids to say yes, Miss so-and-so? Oh my gosh, she hesitated. That's right. Yes. Yeah. All right. You should. Over there. We are going to have the most honoring, respectful children. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. My kids still do that. They'll still walk up to you. They'll go, Mr. Brenton, right? Sherry still calls you Mr. Brenton and Miss Susan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sir. I know. Yeah. All right. Y'all, did Hebrews 12 say amen? Hebrews 12. Amen. Verse 28. Why we should have an awe when it comes to God the Father. Hebrews 12:28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful. Oh, baby, you should be on your face thanking God. We have this kingdom. We have this new life, okay? Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and open your mouth and say, aw. See that? So we're talking about how we interact with the Father in awe. All right? So again, I told you, I have this routine. I get up in the morning, hit the coffee, grab and sit down with my Bible for 15 minutes. Now Monday, don't talk to me for an hour because I'll do 15 minutes and then I start studying. But on a regular day, Monday's my day. I can do anything I want to do day, all right? But really what I do is I sit down and I read, then I pray, and then I pop a CD in of my favorite worship CD, and you'd be surprised, some of them are old. I like some of those old ones, I just pop them in, okay? Because I don't need to read the words, I just sing, okay? Now, I would, for all you young generation, Pastor D, you have a cell phone. You could listen to them. Oh, no. If I hit that cell phone, I check my email, Facebook, see what babies are on the Instagram, and I'm lost. So I don't do that. I do the old thing here because I'm not that disciplined, okay? Some of you might have to do the old way. So I pop a CD in, all right? And the music starts, and I just start singing. God, I love you. Whatever the song is, I'm not singing for you today. Okay. I just start singing the song. I just start singing that song, and I just start worshiping God. And I'll do that for about one or two songs. And then I just get quiet. And the most remarkable thing happens every time. God starts speaking to my heart. God starts speaking to my heart. And it's not a word that I hear like this, okay? He starts speaking to my heart. Can you imagine God Almighty, who lives in heaven in this incredible throne? We're going to read about that later. He wants to talk to me. He wants to have interaction with you. Can you imagine? He wants to interact with you. Yep, he does. And he starts to speak to my heart. So if you were to ask me, Pastor D, why do you believe worship is so important? Why is worship so important? Well, it brings the atmosphere of heaven down into my life. It brings the atmosphere of heaven down into my life. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his people. So I got one scripture. I'll dig up two more. It brings the atmosphere of heaven down into my life. Okay? So why do I worship? Guys, just taste and see that the Lord is good. And you won't want to not to. You won't want to not to. Okay? So, you know, that day I bit Sherry's head off. I just kind of wonder if I forgot the worship part. Well, I don't know. So, when I worship, okay, so I've read my Bible, I've prayed, and you know why I do praying? It gets the clutter out of my head, okay, because otherwise, so I do that, and then I worship, the Lord. Now, I will tell you, there's many times I don't even pop a CD on. I just start singing, I'll start declaring and singing to God, even without a CD. Okay, so I start doing that. And you know what happens? When I worship, the presence of God comes into my life. You know, and when I say presence, the love of God, the goodness of God. Did I say the love of God? The life of God comes when I worship him. And when I get quiet, that's amazing. Okay, so once you taste that atmosphere, you won't want to not to. You won't not want to not to. So now some of you, you might think it's a little strange, okay? The strange worshiping. All right. Okay. So raise your hand, Michael Cashman. Just say, this is Michael. I've known him since the day he was born. He's actually a normal guy. No laughing over here. You don't listen to your brother. Okay. Michael loves Jeeps, off-roading Jeeps. You know, I have never gone. Someday, I know, so I got to get a speaker. Okay, we'll wreck your car, not mine. Okay, so he loves Jeeps and off-roading. He loves taking walks outside in the woods. Now you just see babies on the front, babies on the back. He just loves that. That's kind of normal. Do you still like shooting guns? You know, do it somebody? I love shooting guns. Just take me. Okay, Michael's normal. That other guy we had up here, Jason Salmon. I remember the day he asked me, I knew he's young, he was in middle school, Miss D, can I pray that prayer? I freaked. The prayer! I led Jason to the Lord. And I grabbed him and threw him in the bookstore and we prayed, okay? But you know what? Jason's so normal. He loves football. He loves Ravens. Okay. So, you know, if you don't show up on church, don't post it on Instagram. Because I'm your friend. So I see Jason at football games down at the Ravens all the time. That's okay. Everybody say, Jason's normal. Okay, I got to look at my notes because I don't know how to do this. Okay. Normal guys. And ladies, y'all need the presence of God. You need to have interaction in the presence of God. Now, You might discredit Michael. Oh, well, he plays. He does that. I should have picked somebody else, like me. Okay. Normal people, say normal. You all normal? You need the presence of God in your life. You need the presence of God in your life, okay? You need the presence of God in your life. And it's the most amazing thing. If you begin to do that, and I'm telling you, if you make it a routine in your life, you'll have these God talking to you times. You know, God times, interactions with God. And you'll be different. Your day will be different. All right. So I want to give you one scripture. Turn over to Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to, we're almost there. Okay. Hold that word. All right. Revelation chapter 4. I want to give you a glimpse of God. Okay. Now, we got movies, you know, and every time I see one of those movies about Bible stories, I'm like, yeah, you don't quite got it. Okay. And some of them, I'm like, did you read your Bible? That is like not Bible. Okay. But they're fun to go to. They're fun to go to, right? Moses, the split in the Red Sea and all that stuff. Okay. The Passion, that was good. All right. But here we go. Revelation chapter 4. I want to give you a glimpse of God because God is incredible. God is incredible. Revelations, okay, chapter 4. The background. Revelations is written by who? Yay! You get a star on your paper. John, the Apostle John, all right? And he is on this island and he's caught up in the Spirit. His body did not go to heaven. His spirit, he had good stuff, okay? And it's all about a description of the throne of God. It's all about God, all right? Now, sometimes if we don't get this, we don't get who God is, you're not going to approach him in prayer. So I'm going to read this. Here we go. Revelation, it's a lot of reading. Just listen. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and ruby. A rainbow that shone like the emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. Most Bible scholars say the 24 elders is the body of Christ, okay? I'm not debating today, okay? And they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Let's be pretty incredible at the throne. Okay, jump down to verse 8. For each of the four living creatures had six wings. So there's these four creatures that are also around the throne. Each of these four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under its wing. And day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and is to come." Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we got these guys doing that 24/7. And verse 9, when the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. And they laid their crowns before the throne and they say, "You are worthy, O Lord God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you who have created all things. And by your will they were created and they have their being." So you got these 24 beast, living creatures. Beast sounds so terrible. And 24/7, they are singing before the Lord, worshiping before God, okay? Now, when I first got saved and I saw this, and actually for quite a long time, I'm sitting here thinking, oh my gosh, are you kidding? You're going to sing 24/7? I barely get three songs, and I'm like, are we done yet? Maybe you're one of those. No, I'm not looking, okay? But listen, I'm telling you guys, once you get into the presence of God, you want to, can't help to, will never want to stop to worship God. So I'm going to have my worship team come back up, okay? And we're gonna do homework. Because you can take this and, okay, we're going to worship in a minute, but let me before I do that, I want to do something else, before I let them loose, okay? How do you worship? Well, how many of you have an imagination? Imaginations are good if you use them for the right thing. Matter of fact, you know who gave you your imagination? God gave you your imagination. So this, use your imagination, and I want you to just use your imagination and see yourself standing before the throne of God. Use your imagination. See yourself standing before the throne of God. Use your imagination and see yourself standing before the throne of God. Okay? Now, if you watch me most of the time, I have my eyes closed. So sometimes I trip. But you know why I close my eyes even in worship? On my sofa or even in here? Is because I can't concentrate. I get a little distracted. So and I'll be looking at, like, somebody's wiggling or snapping their gum. Or, did you see so-and-so? Look at those shoes. They were so nice. Okay, so I close my eyes. All right? So you can close your eyes when you worship. All right? So we're going to go into the... we're going to have a time of worship because, yes, God is our Father, but He is also Almighty. And we can come because of what Jesus did. You can come into the throne of God. Prior to Jesus dying on the cross, you couldn't go there. But when Jesus died and rose again, you can go there. The most incredible, mind-blowing, I think it's just going to be, forget it, they can't even make a movie. The throne of God. You get to go to the throne of God and come into the presence of God and just worship Him. Sing to Him. All right? And you know, God loves us so much. So you do this to Him, and then He does this to you. That's just like a super blessing. But you do this to Him, He'll do this to you. He'll do stuff for you. He does stuff in us and through us. So before we do that, I just want to pray. So I'm just going to ask everybody to close your eyes for a second. No looking around, no moving. Matter of fact, I'm so early, the teachers need us to just do this, okay? They're not ready to let go of our kids, all right? If you're here and you are not sure of your forever, if you're here, what I mean is if you don't know for sure where your forever is, if you would spend it in heaven, in the presence of God, or you would be in hell. If you're not sure, I want to pray for you, okay? I want to pray for you. I really just want to ask you, would you open your heart? Would you let, matter of fact, I believe the Holy Spirit has already been moving all through this service to open hearts, open eyes, open understanding, okay? And we talked about how awesome God is, that God already planned a salvation. And Jesus was the one who performed it. And the Holy Spirit is the one that just puts the pieces together, okay? But listen, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you if you were raised in a Christian home. I'm not asking if you were raised in church or if you were water baptized, okay? I'm not asking you that question because all of those things are good. But I'm asking you, was there a day that you remember... A day or a time that you remember that you said, Jesus, your Savior, would you be my Savior? So I'm asking everybody here, do you know of a time or a day when you did that? You asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord and Savior. And if you're here and you're saying, because you know, I did this, gosh, I was 20. That's a long time ago. And I'll tell you, it changed my life forever. Changed my life forever. Because I'd still be in New Jersey, and I probably wouldn't be alive. Because I watched my family, who did not know the Lord, just not do a good place. But God so graciously moved and opened my eyes, and I saw, and I made a decision. Jesus, would you be Lord of my life? Would you be my Savior? So if you're here and you can't remember that time that you did that, well, I want to tell you, today's the day of salvation. And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. And anybody who comes to me, I will open the doors and they will come on in. Okay? He also says, if you call on the name of Jesus, he will save. So is there anybody here today that you say, Pastor D, would you pray for me? I'm ready. I am ready to receive Jesus. Is there anybody here? Just raise your hand. Raise your hand. Is there anybody here? Okay. So that means you guys are forever sure where you're going, right? Okay, where are you going? All right. All righty. Praise God. Guys, I love you. Man, I pray for you. I talk about you. Good things. Okay? But every week, I'm asking, is there anybody here that's never met Jesus Christ would like to receive Jesus? Okay? How about you invite them? How about you invite these people that don't know the Lord? All right? And I promise I will give them an invitation, an opportunity to meet Jesus so they will forever have a destination. Heaven is their home. Okay? So you invite people, all right? Praise the Lord. Amen. But now, we were talking about our interaction with Father in awe, and that awe is worship. And the amazing thing when we worship is that the Father, we come into his presence. Actually, heaven comes down, the presence of God. And you can just bask in it, and you can just love him. And then you can bask in it, and then you can just love him. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. And then you can just bask in it. But let's do this and expect. So would you stand? We're going to worship, and I'm going to let them do what they do because I don't sing too good. We're going to worship. We're going to adore, reverence, and give him awe. We just love you, Lord. You're wonderful.
If my heart is overwhelmed and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. And if the storms of life, they come, and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son.
Love came down.
And love came down and rescued me. Oh, love came down and said, promise comes my way, and when I feel your hands of grace rest upon me, I'm staying desperate for you, God. I'm staying humbled at your feet. I will lift these hands of praise. I will. I remind myself of all that you've done, and the life I have because of your Son. And love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. And I. you, oh God. We worship your holy name. We praise you, Jesus, that you died and took the wrath of God for us, saving us for eternity. And Lord God, we just thank you that that was your plan from the beginning. We praise you, Jesus. You're worthy. You're worthy, oh God.
Ladies want to help up here. If guys want to help up here.